Thank you to Dave. You forgot your, there you go. I know Dave, he didn't want to be without that, so any more than I want to be without this right here. So if you see this laying around, make sure you get it back to me. So good to see you this morning. Glad that you're out on this first Sunday morning in May. And I'd like to just start out with a very brief checkup. Now, this is a checkup mainly for those who are here more regularly in attendance, and you'll be more aware of what we're talking about when we remind you of our theme for the year here at the Assembly. At the Feet of Jesus is our theme for this year. And occasionally during the year, we just want to be challenging each other and encouraging each other and just asking each other, are you spending time at the feet of the Lord Jesus every day? Are you spending time in the Word, hearing Him speak to you? Are you spending time there in prayer, sharing with Him your heart? Are you spending time at His feet making commitments that you're going to go out and take the things that you are learning from Him and that you are sharing with Him in prayer, and you're going to go out and apply that in your life? So I hope that this year, calendar year so far, as we've gone through a third of the year now, I hope that you can look back and say, you know, this year I have started, this year I have stepped up my time at the feet of the Lord Jesus in the Word and or in prayer and or in obedience to the Scripture. I hope that you are seeing yourself stepping up in those areas if you were already doing it. And if you're saying, hey, I can't believe 4 months have gone by and I've really not taken that seriously, I'd like to encourage you again, to challenge you again as we did at the first of the year, each one of us, not to be weary in well-doing, but to continue on. And this will pay great dividends spiritually in your life, in the life of your family, and as you're involved in this local church, it will pay off in the life of this assembly as well, as we continue individually to spend that time at the feet of the Lord Jesus. I want to challenge you to do that. And I think as we get into our message this morning, we're going to see that that whole thought will tie into what we're speaking of this morning as well. I'm going to ask you to turn to the first chapter of the fifth book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, we're continuing on our trek with the nation of Israel. We began with them back in the very first part of the book of Exodus. And we saw how they were redeemed from slavery in Egypt, and we've been reminded that those of us who know the Lord Jesus, we too have been redeemed from enslavement to this world system and to Satan. We've been freed from slavery and bondage to our own sin. And God has set us free and has given us the wonderful opportunity to journey with Him and with His people, oftentimes through a wilderness. And that's where the people of Israel have been throughout the majority, well, all of this study, actually, since they left Egypt. They crossed the Red Sea. God took them miraculously through that on dry land, and He led them into the wilderness, and they begin to learn lessons. And God is wanting to teach us. God is wanting to use the difficult, sometimes dry times of life to instruct us in things that He knows are invaluable for our journey. The people of Israel have, of course, not only spent the time that God had as the original intent for them to work their way through the wilderness on their way to the promised land, but of course they didn't believe God. When it was time to enter into the land, they didn't believe that God would truly give them that land of blessing, that God would truly enable them. And so they, in their unbelief, they wandered for 38 more years. But God in His grace continued to provide for them. God in His grace continued to teach them. God in His grace raised up a new generation of individuals who would hear His word and hopefully respond to Him in faith. And now in our study, as we've worked our way into Numbers and now ready to go into Deuteronomy, we have seen that once again they are at the very doorstep of the promised land. Now they've actually worked their way up to the east side of the Jordan River, ready to cross over westward. And when they cross that river, they are going to be in the land of promise. They're going to be in the land of blessing. Yes, it'll be a land of battles. The battles won't be over. In some ways, they'll just be beginning. But we too, those of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior, God says, I want to bless you with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In fact, He says, you're already blessed with those blessings. I want you to enjoy them. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be rich. That doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy. That doesn't mean that everything is going to be smooth. That doesn't mean you won't lose your job or have problems in your family or in other relationships. That doesn't mean your health will always be great. But God promises you that as you enjoy His blessings, though you may go through difficulty, the blessings of His peace and His joy and His purpose in life, the experience of knowing His love and His hope will be with you every step of the journey, no matter what kind of battle you are facing. Oh, now we're here in the book of Deuteronomy, and Moses has been instructed by God to re-emphasize God's will for the nation of Israel. Of course, Moses, because of his sin, as we've seen in the book of Numbers, he will not be able to enter into the land of promise. But God is giving him the responsibility, the privilege of speaking to the people again. Let's just begin by reading the first verse, the first three verses of this fifth book of the Bible, fifth book of the Pentateuch, the book of Deuteronomy. These be the words which Moses spake unto all Israel on this side Jordan in the wilderness, in the plain over against the Red Sea, between Paran and Tophel and Laban and Hazeroth and Dizahab. There are 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. And it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. So here they are, back where they should have been 38 years earlier. 11-day trek from Kadesh Barnea up to where they are on the east side of the Jordan River took them 38 years because of unbelief. A reminder again to us to believe God. But as they get ready to enter this land of great blessing, we have what is called in our English Bible Deuteronomy, literally the second law. A re-emphasis of the law that God has already given. There were some exposition on that law and some other things shared with them. And many people might look at this and say, well, you know, this is just a repeat. I don't need to go back through this. I don't need to be reading the book of Deuteronomy. Let me jump on over that and get on into Joshua and have some real battles going on and see some of the blessing that God has given. We don't need to do that. But you know, the Hebrew title is not the same as we find here in the English. In fact, it's not even the same. It's not even the Hebrew word is not translated second law. Rather, the Hebrew word would be translated words. Words. These are the words that Moses shared, but more importantly, the reality of these words is that they are the words of God. And these are words that the people of God would need for living in the true possession of the blessings of God. In other words, to appropriate those blessings that God was getting ready to pour out on them, to really enjoy those blessings in the way that God would have them truly to enjoy them, they need these words of God. Now we know and we have seen and we have studied and declared that the law that was given through Moses to the nation of Israel is not the way that we have salvation. We are not forgiven by keeping the law. We do not come into a relationship with God by keeping these commandments. Nor do we become sanctified. We don't become holy by keeping a list of rules. Rather, that all is by the grace of God. It's all offered as a gift, and we receive that by faith. We receive salvation by believing that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the perfect one, died as the Lamb of God, and He shed His blood, taking the punishment for our sins. And this very one who took our punishment rose from the grave, and He's alive today, and He has offered salvation to all who would believe in Him. It's by grace that we are saved, through faith, and not of ourselves, no law keeping. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. That's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. And of course, verse 10 says, God has preordained, He's set aside good works for us to walk in them. There's a journey for us who know the Lord Jesus. We are walking in those good works. And as we walk in those good works, in that land of blessing, there are truths that we can take out of the Word of God, even from this Old Testament law. Even from these words that Moses shared with the nation of Israel, there are many things that we can take out of this living Word, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The Word of God, which is breathed out by God. The Word of God that is sharper than a two-edged sword to go down into the deepest parts of our beings. The Word of God, which is profitable. It's profitable. As we think of the journey, I want you to go over to chapter 6 for one verse. We think of the journey that this nation had been on for 40 years or 39 years and 11 months at this time. They're readying to enter the promised land. It was still going to be a journey, a different kind of journey, but they were still going to be journeying. And we know that as believers, we find ourselves in the desert and maybe in the land of blessing, sometimes simultaneously in different aspects of our lives. Chapter 6 and verse 1. After doing pretty much of a review of the blessings, how God had brought them through these 40 years, we read this. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land where ye go to possess it. You're going in to possess the land. God is wanting to teach you. And He is giving you these instructions that you might go into the land, that you might journey in and enjoy the blessings that God has provided for you. If you know Christ as your Savior this morning, if you are born again, it is the desire of the heart of God the Father and of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the three in one, that you would appropriate, that I would appropriate, that we would enjoy these blessings to their fullest. That's what God desires for us. Paul, that great servant of God, used as a messenger, which wrote much of the New Testament by the Spirit of God, he said to the church at Corinth that's been preserved for us, he said, you follow me as I follow Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that we're to follow. We come to Him for salvation and forgiveness, to be made right with God. And we follow Him. We follow in His steps. And you know, the Lord Jesus, of course, His life here on earth was a perfect journey. He never took a misstep. He never messed up. He never had to look back and say, wow, wish I could redo that. Everything He did was perfectly led by the Father. Now, of course, as He worked His way through that journey, we find that He had many spiritual battles with the devil, Satan, the tempter. You know, it was the Father's will that He go through these things. Hebrews 5:8 tells us that though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. You see, God knows everything. He's omniscient. The Lord Jesus knew and knows and always will know everything. But there's a difference in knowing and knowing through experience, isn't there? You can read a book and know everything there is to know about doing a certain thing. I see John Mullen sitting there. I'll use him as an illustration. I could go out and I could read all there is to know about working on an airplane. And John, at one point, you read about working on an airplane. But you know, it's different to know everything about how to work on an airplane. It's different than to take that knowledge and to work on an airplane. Is that right, John? That's right. And you could say that about what you do in your life. The Lord Jesus knows all things. And yet He experienced going through the journeys of this life. By being here, by becoming a true human being. And God allowed him to be tested. You know, when the Union Pacific Railroad was being constructed, an elaborate trestle bridge was built across a large canyon in the west. And the builder loaded a train with enough extra cars and equipment to double the normal payload of a train that would go across that trestle bridge. And then the train was driven to the middle of the bridge, and it sat there on the middle of the bridge for an entire day. And one of the workers asked the builder, "Are you trying to break this bridge?" And the builder replied, "No, I'm trying to prove that the bridge won't break." That was the purpose. He knew the bridge wouldn't break, even with twice the load. And of course, in the same way, the temptations that the Lord Jesus faced weren't designed by God to see if Christ would sin, but rather to prove that He wouldn't sin. You're all, I'm sure, familiar with the temptation of the Lord Jesus in the wilderness. And if you're familiar with that, you know that He faced Satan. And when Satan tempted Him, you also know that the Lord Jesus had victory. You may have noticed as you've studied that or heard that portion read that when the Lord Jesus dealt with the attacks of Satan, He always did so with Scripture. Three times He was attacked. Three times He responded to Satan with Scripture. And obviously that Scripture was from the Old Testament. The New Testament had been written at that time. You may or may not be familiar or knowledgeable of the fact that each of those three quotations that the Lord Jesus used in His battle with Satan came from one book of the Old Testament. And you probably figured it out by now if you didn't already know, the book of Deuteronomy. That book that many people say, "I don't need to read that. That's a second giving of the law." It's not really. It's a re-emphasis of the law for a new generation. But the Lord Jesus quoted three times from this book when He was battling against Satan. Turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. I don't know if you like history or if you enjoy watching movies set in the days of the Roman Empire, or even the Middle Ages, the times of the knights, even up to more recent history, even as guns and artillery became more and more important in warfare, yet all through the history of mankind, the clanging of swords has been heard. And I enjoy watching those movies where the warrior pulls out his sword and does that hand-to-hand combat with an enemy. And using that sword skillfully, hopefully the hero of the movie has victory. We read in Ephesians chapter 6 familiar verses about a warfare that those of us who know Christ as Savior, those of us who are part of the family of God, we're in the Lord's army by faith in Jesus Christ. Here's our battle, verse 10 of Ephesians 6. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery or the cunning deceit of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." This isn't a battle with another human being with a sword made of metal. No, it's not like that. "Rather, it's against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." In other words, against the hierarchy of the demonic military. That's where our battle is. It's a spiritual battle, but it's just as real. Verse 13, wherefore, knowing that this is true, understanding that we are in a spiritual battle, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit. You know, there are two Greek words that are most often in the New Testament translated word, particularly when we're speaking about the Word of God or the Word of the Lord. Some of you are familiar with those two words. They are logos and rhema, or rhema. Would that be right, Luther? Rhema, my closer. Logos. The thought there, in general, is the totality of the Word of God, the whole of Scripture. This is the logos of God, breathed out by Him. The other word, rhema, which is used here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17, that word speaks more of the individual sayings of Scripture. The sentences, the phrases, the verses, each individual declaration in the Word of God is the rhema of God. And so here we have Paul, by the Spirit of God, telling us that when we go into battle, with our defensive equipment on, we have one offensive weapon, and it's a sword, and it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema of God, the very sayings of God. That's with what we do battle. Now, with that in mind, go to Matthew chapter 4. I apologize for not telling you to hold your place in Deuteronomy. We'll be going back there. But Matthew chapter 4, and we'll be from now to the end of our time together, we'll be toggling back and forth between Matthew 4 and the book of Deuteronomy. And we're going to see here in Matthew 4, Matthew's account of the Lord Jesus in that temptation in the wilderness. And we're going to see that this is exactly the strategy that the Lord Jesus used in battling the devil's tempting. Remember, he's fully man, fully God. No sin nature within him. He's perfect. He's God. And yet he's battling true temptations. Read along with me. Follow there. Matthew 4, verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he, the Lord Jesus, answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Three recorded attacks and counterattacks. You'll find this also recorded in Luke's gospel, again in the fourth chapter. We're going to look at this morning. We're going to try to see how the Lord Jesus took the Word of God, the rhema of God, and used it in battling Satan to have victory over temptation. One goal this morning for us is that we will afresh appreciate the Lord Jesus, the one who died for us, the one who went through these temptations for us, that he might be proven sinless, And also that we might take His example, that we might follow Him, and that we might take the truths that He used and apply them in our lives, because I know that You're being tempted. And I know that I'm being tempted. And I know that Satan and his demons are active. And if you're not being tempted, you don't recognize temptation in your life, then it must be that you're not following the Lord Jesus. Those who live godly in Christ Jesus are going to suffer persecution that will come outwardly from the world. It will also come from Satan himself, or rather his demonic forces. Temptation number one we found in verses 2-4. There they are in the wilderness. That's where the nation of Israel was. They're in the wilderness, and in that wilderness barren place, the devil came to him. And you know, the demons come to you. And they don't present themselves with a pitchfork and a tail and horns. Now, they come often as angels of light. We read in Paul's letter to the Corinthians that they present themselves in that way. The Lord Jesus is hungry. He's been without food 40 days and 40 nights. And we see the wiles of the devil, his trickery. He says, since you're the Son of God. By the way, the Lord Jesus had just been baptized. Read that at the end of Matthew 3. The Father had spoken from heaven. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Spirit of God had descended like a dove upon him. And Satan knew all that. And he says, since you're the Son of God, turn these stones into bread and satisfy your natural, understandable, physical, strong, after 40 days and 40 nights, desire for food. His answer comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. If you want to hold your place here in Matthew and go back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, we're going to see the Lord's answers come from Deuteronomy 8 and Deuteronomy 6. So if you hold your place in this area, you will be ready to toggle back and forth as we work our way quickly between these passages. Deuteronomy chapter 8, and the quote will come from verse 3. For context, let's begin in verse 1. All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and allowed thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know. And here comes the sword. Here comes the rhema that the Lord Jesus used. That man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. The Lord Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy. The experience of the nation of Israel that's referred to here in Deuteronomy 8 comes from Exodus 16. We looked at it a long time ago, but you might remember how Israel was hungry. They were without food just a month and a half into their journey. And God provided miraculously for them manna. And we find here that there was a lesson in the manna. Yes, it was to meet their physical needs, but more importantly, there was a lesson there for them to understand that the Word of God is of greater importance than food. And we can't live without the Word of God. As believers, we must have the rhema of God. We must have the logos of God. We cannot grow, we cannot function spiritually without the Word of God. It was with the Word of God that our new birth came into being. We heard the Word of God, we responded in faith, and we were born into the family of God. We were made new creations, and we need the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus counterattacked the devil. The Lord Jesus drew that sword and used it in a powerful way against Satan by quoting to him what is truly valuable in the economy of God. And you know, we sit here this morning And we could look at this temptation in many ways. But maybe we can pause for a moment and ask ourselves this question. Does the lack of something in my life reveal what's most important to me? Has God allowed there to be something in my life that I wish I had, that I felt I need, but there is a shortage or a lack of that in my life right now? It may be physical, it may be emotional, it may be mental, it may be relational. But is there something that God has allowed me to be doing without, and I am being tempted to fulfill that need or desire in a way that is not according to the Word of God? The Lord Jesus, walking perfectly on that journey, every step according to what His Father had laid out for Him to do. It was not His Father's will that He change those stones into bread. He could have done it. It wasn't the Father's will. And maybe in your life, God has got you in that situation right now. And maybe God is wanting to teach you and He's wanting to teach me that we don't just live by those things. That thing that we feel like we have to have for survival, we must have for emotional well-being, we've got to have this to keep going in life. And the Lord is saying, every word, every rhema we have there in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, in the book of Luke, that's the translation. Or that's the word from which word is translated there. But by every rhema that proceeds from the mouth of God, that's more important. The Word of God and what God is saying to us, and the Lord Jesus knew that. As hungry as He was after 40 days and 40 nights, He had a real human body. He wasn't a superhero who never got hungry. He got hungry, He got tired, He was hungering. But He said, using the sword of the Spirit, drawing it out against Satan. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16 to 18, that though our outward man perish, yes, physically, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The Word of God, that's more important than food. That's more important than any need in your life. And the Lord Jesus pulled out that sword, and we can pull out the sword, and we can use that same rhema. We can't live by, put the Word in there. Put it in there silently in your mind right now. We cannot live by this alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And we've got to go battle against Satan and use that. Hold your place here in Deuteronomy, but go back to Matthew. Matthew chapter 4. And we see the Lord Jesus with that second attack coming at Him, and He again counterattacks. The devil now, verse 5, takes Him up into the holy city, Jerusalem, sets Him on a pinnacle or a high edge, a precipice of the temple, where they could look down and see what was below. And I'm sure there were people there. Was during the day, as far as we would understand. And the trickery of the devil comes in this way: jump off and allow the angels to protect you. Interestingly here, the devil knows the Bible too, doesn't he? And he will take it and misuse it and take it out of context. And if you're not careful, he will come against you with the Word of God misused. And how many times have you or I heard, or even maybe said, something from the Scripture that was not God's true intent? How many times have I heard people say, God wants me to be happy, therefore, it's okay that I do this thing that His Word tells me not to do, because the Bible says God wants me to be happy. A misuse of the Scripture. The Lord Jesus answered. He responded. We find it there in verse 7. It is written again. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Okay, go back to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6 this time. We've got to hurry, so I'm going a little quicker, but Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Lord Jesus is speaking, drawing out this rhema from this book of words, the Word of God, all Scripture given by inspiration of God. We read here in Deuteronomy, don't add to it, don't take away from it. That's in chapter 4. We read that in the book of the Revelation too. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and look down in verse 16. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. He names a specific time that the children of Israel tempted God. That's back in Exodus 17. That's when they were thirsty and they were complaining against the Lord. And they tempted God, we find there in Exodus 17, by asking this question, is the Lord among us? I'm sure what they meant was something like this. Is God here or not? He said he was going to be here. Where is he? Where is he? And they complained against God. They tempted God. And Jesus counterattacked the devil with this warning against doing things that don't acknowledge the Lord's presence and the Lord's power and the Lord's plan. Go ahead, jump off. Prove that God is here. Prove that he's here and he's going to catch you. His angels will catch you. The Lord Jesus said, it is written, don't tempt the Lord thy God. Now, if God the Father had told the Lord Jesus, jump off that precipice, you can believe he would have jumped off. And we would have done so in faith, responding to the Word of God. But he wasn't going to go do something to try to prove something that was not according to the will of God. God will prove his presence. God will evidence his power. God will make clear his plan in his way, not according to the temptation we may be experiencing. The Lord Jesus has promised to be with us. Promised to be with us. In Hebrews 13 and verse 5, we're reminded again, a quotation from Deuteronomy. I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. We can trust him. We don't have to seek to go outside of the will of God to find, we don't have to seek to throw ourselves into some circumstance. We don't have to say, well, I'm going to go into this dangerous situation. I'm going to put myself in the place of temptation just to prove that God can do it. I struggle with blank, therefore I'm going to go put myself in the place where blank will confront me just to prove that God will protect me. Don't do that. The Lord Jesus said, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't do like the nation of Israel did at Massah. One final temptation. You don't need to turn back there. We've already read it in Matthew chapter 4. Again, the devil, he takes the Lord Jesus in a vision up onto a high mountain. And they look, and in a moment of time, they see all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Satan's trickery, his wiles, his deceit is this. He tells the Lord Jesus, bow down and worship me. It'll all be yours. It'll all be yours. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 13 is where the Lord Jesus reaches to pull out that sword to go against Satan. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him. You see, it's just him. It's no one else. Israel here is ready to enter the land of blessing in the context of which we had time to look at it, but the context here is the potential for the people of God to go into that land and to get all of this blessing and to forget God. And that by forgetting God, to open the door to worship and serve something else. And the Lord Jesus counterattacked with this rebuke concerning worshiping or serving anyone apart from God. Do your choices, do our choices reveal that I've forgotten God in his place of preeminence? Am I tempted to do things, to make choices, to decide things, which will evidence the fact that I have forgotten God, that He is preeminent, that He is Lord, that He is Creator, that He is authority, and that I am to serve only Him. I'm to bow down only to Him. Have I forgotten that? Are my actions revealing that? Are the temptations I'm facing coming against that? Is that Satan's attack? Do you have the sword ready? Just as we close, just some practical helps for using the sword on your journey. The Word of God, the Rhema of God. I'm going to go through them very quickly. Revere the Word. Respect the Word of God. Hold it in high regard. Honor it more than your daily food. Revere the Word of God. Prioritize the Word of God in your life. Make it important. Give it that place of preeminence. Don't set it on the shelf and pick it up on Sunday morning. Be in the Word of God daily. Receive the Word. When you read the Scripture, be at the feet of the Lord Jesus, hearing Him speak to you His very inspired, God-breathed Word. When you hear the Word of God read, take it in, not just like you're hearing something read, but as it is the Word of God. Believe the Word. Trust God when He says something. Study the Word. Go deeper into Scripture to find what God is saying. Know the Word of God. Understand the Word of God. Search the Word of God. Are you struggling with a temptation? Do you have a concordance, a Strong's Concordance, an invaluable tool? You can find it in the hardback. It's big. You can find it on the internet. Go to Google and put in Strong's Concordance. You can use it free right there on your computer. You can look up a word. Are you struggling with this temptation? Put the word in there, and it'll show you every verse where it is in Scripture. Get you a NAVES, N-A-V-E, apostrophe S, topical Bible. Again, in the hardback, you can look up topics, not only by the word, but by the topic. In other words, if you're struggling with a temptation, that word may not be in a specific verse, but the thought is there. You can, again, go onto the internet, NAVES Topical Bible. You can use it free if you don't have one. Look up verses on these topics. Find verses on other beneficial topics. Find verses that speak of the Lord Jesus. Find verses that give promises to you. That with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Go and find verses that speak of the Lord Jesus in His greatness and in His glory, that He is the way, the truth, and the life, that He is the true vine, that apart from Him you can do nothing. Finding these Scriptures about Him and about His truths. Right on your bulletin today on the front is Philippians 4:8, reminding us of things that we should think about, the kinds of things. Love the Word of God. Love it. With your whole heart, develop that love by time in the Word. Yield to the Word of God, allowing the Spirit of God to teach you and to enable you to follow through. Obey the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Write it on a 3x5 card, some of those verses. Carry it with you. Keep it in your car at the stoplight. Pull it out. On your break, look at those verses. Memorize the Scripture. The Lord Jesus pulled the sword out. He learned. Yes, He spoke those words initially. But as a child, He grew up and He had to learn the Bible, the Old Testament. He memorized and He pulled out that sword because it was in His mind, it was in His heart, and the Spirit of God will bring those things to your mind. Hide God's Word in your heart that you might not sin against Him. Feed on the Word of God. Take it in like your daily food. Quote the Word of God and apply the Word of God to your life. When you go to the Word of God, the Rhema of God, be purposeful. Be consistent. Be practical with what you learn. Be teachable. Be at the feet of the Lord Jesus. And when the devil attacks, pull the sword out. Don't fight against Satan with your bare hands. You're going to lose. I'm going to lose. We take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. It is written, the Lord Jesus said. God Himself, in battling against Satan, quoted from the Scripture. Are you ready with the Scripture? It can be a phrase. We want to take it in context, but go in and get the phrase. Let God speak to you and have that ready. I don't care if you have to pull out the same sword 100 times in a day. You're going to know it well after those 100 times. Keep using it when Satan comes. Keep using it against Satan. It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. You shall worship the Lord thy God, and Him only shall you serve. Just three swords, the Lord Jesus. He pulled them out of the book of Deuteronomy. An overlooked book. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us there's no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but with the temptation will also make a way to escape that you may be able to endure it. Pull out the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pull out the sword. We need to clang swords this week, brothers and sisters. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you don't know this wonderful one that we're talking about. You don't know Him. You are missing it. You need to know Him. He's the one to whom to know is life eternal. The one that died for your sins and rose again. I'd love to talk with you about that. If you know Him as your Savior, work on your sword skills this week. Get some verses. Write them down. Work on memorizing them. If you can't memorize them, have them close by where you can pull it out and read it. The Lord will give you the victory over sin. There's no temptation that's taken you, but you can't endure up under. You can, but it's going to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema of God, the very sayings of God. Let's pray. Father, it's been our blessing today to look into your Logos, to see there your Rhema. Father, to look at your glorious, wonderful Son who, as the perfect man, battled against Satan there in the wilderness, there on the high point of the temple, there on that high mountain, he battled against Satan, that one who hates you, that one who hates him, that one who hates us. And he pulled out that sword, those rhema. Father, he spoke your word. He spoke his word. And he had victory, and Satan was defeated in those temptations. Father, we're reminded that Satan kept coming back. He didn't give up, and we know he's not going to give up with us. But Father, we thank you that your word is eternal, and it's eternally effective. Father, we pray this morning as we face the temptations of our lives that we will be in your word, we'll be at the feet of your Son, we'll be taking it in and living it out. And Father, drawing it and clanging swords for your glory, not in our strength, but in your strength. We thank you that it's the sword of the Spirit. Father, may we be yielded to the Holy Spirit and have victory over temptation. We pray that it might be so for your glory, and help us to share your word with one another and the victories you give us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. May the Lord bless you as you draw your sword.